Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Ontex's first quarter 2016 results conference call. This call is being recorded. Today's call will be hosted by Jacques Pionnot, Chief Finance Officer. Following the presentation, an interactive Q&A session will be available. Copies of today's announcements and presentations are available on www.ontexglobal.com. I would like to remind everyone that the Safe Harbor statements apply to this presentation and to the subsequent Q&A session. I would now like to hand the call over to Jacques Pionnot. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. So, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our 2016 Q1 trading update conference call. As you know, following completion of our acquisition of Grupo Mabe on February 29, our Q1 2016 results include 1 month's contribution from Mabe. Nearly all of this is shown as our new Americas retail division, with a very limited amount of sales based in Europe, reported in mature market retail. Additional revenue from Mabe is part of our reported revenue and not like-for-like for the first 12 months. However, as this is a sizable acquisition, which will contribute 10 out of 12 months this year, we provide you Q1 pro forma revenue at constant currency to give some color on how the business is performing. Let me start by an overall review of the Q1 2016 key highlight before we delve into the divisional review in more details. So we can move to the slide 5. First, as a general takeaway from the quarter, and as just mentioned, we have started the integration of Grupo Mabe from March this year. As we will see later in the presentation, this not only reinforces the group's growth profile, but also further diversifies it by enabling our first steps into Americas. Secondly, it's clear that we have continued to deliver our strategy in Q1 and made further progress, in particular, in strong growth in 3 of our divisions. Starting with the group's overall reported sales figures, as you can see, reported revenue was up 6.4% year-on-year, reflecting, as just mentioned, the excellent performance from our 3 main engines of growth. The gross market division continues its strong like-for-like momentum. The Middle East-North Africa division posted mid-teens like-for-like growth. And our new Americas retail division added almost 34 million of sales in the month of March. At constant currency and excluding changes in perimeter or M&A, revenue grew by 1% in Q1 2016. This rather soft performance relative to our track record is essentially the result of a decline in our mature market retail division, which continued to be impacted in Q1 by the cycling effect of the negative balance of contract gain and losses recorded in 2015, as well as by heightened competitive activity. However, reflecting on the underlying growth profile of our business post-Mabe, please note that including Grupo Mabe, pro forma revenue for Q1 2015 and Q1 2016, group revenue at constant currency would have been 3.9% higher, which strongly underpins the benefits from the Grupo Mabe acquisitions to the Ontex portfolio. From a profitability standpoint, We delivered an adjusted EBITDA of $57 million in Q1, up 9.6% year-on-year, and this despite adverse currency impacts of $13.2 million for the quarter. This means that we delivered an adjusted EBITDA margin of 12.6% in the quarter, which is up 37 basis points versus a year ago, and which demonstrates our ability to deliver efficiency gains and cost savings. Finally, on net debt stood at $700 million at the end of Q1 2016, including the earnouts for acquisitions, which gives us a group leverage between 2.7 and 3 times based on an estimate of the last 12 months EBITDA, including Grupo Mabe. Both working capital below 12% of net sales and CapEx between 3.5 and 4% of net sales for this year are in line with our expectations after incorporating Grupo Mabe. So now we could move to discuss more about the revenue to the slide number 7. As said, we delivered a total reported revenue growth of 6.4%, including Grupo Mabe from March 1st, and a like-for-like growth of 1%. Revenue growth for the group would have been 3.9% at constant currency if we included Mabe pro forma for the first quarter. From a reported growth perspective, I just want to first reiterate that we saw very solid performances in our growth engines division that are growth market, Middle East, North Africa, and now Americas retail. Excluding Mabe, we saw a positive contribution from volume in the quarter, while price mix effects were very slightly negative. As you can see on the table, currency headwinds were strong in Q1, with 13.1 million. However, our progress was offset by our mature market retail division, which was negatively impacted by an unfavorable balance of contract gain and losses recording during 2015. As we flagged during our full year 15 earnings call, this was expected. But let's look in a bit more detail on the mature retail division and move on slide number 8. Our focus and approach to MMR in quarter one remained unchanged. In the current competitive environment, which includes more aggressive pricing of international brands in the Western Europe baby diaper segment, we have remained and will remain disciplined. As such, the combination of this price competition and the fact that in 2016 we continue to be impacted by some of the contract losses which took place in 2015 led to a slow start of the year as the division recorded minus 6.2% of like-for-like growth in this first quarter of the year. There was a varied performance across the division, with higher year-on-year revenue in Poland, offset by declines in UK and France, where, by the way, the promotional activity from branded players has been most pronounced. Including currency headwinds, mainly the British pound and the Polish zloty, by the way, and 2.2 million revenue from Mabe's European business, total sales in mature retail were 6.5% lower year-on-year. Now, let me also reiterate what Charles commented upon during our full year 2015 communication, which is that we continue to pursue profitable business opportunities within the division. We'll come back to it in the outlook, but we anticipate improving like-for-like trends in H2 as the contract losses in 2015 roll off and some gains will start to take effect. Additionally, remaining disciplined and on top driving efficiencies within the division will support our group EBITDA margin goals. So now we can move to the Americas retail, and it's on slide number 9. Moving on to our new division, Americas Retail, as I said, which is essentially all of Mabe's operation next to the small amount I just mentioned in Western Europe in mature retail. We are very pleased with how the business is performing, and this performance fully reflects our expectation at the time of the transaction. On a pro forma basis, Q1 revenue in the Americas Retail division has grown by 16.2% on a constant currency basis. This reflects a very solid performance across the three categories, baby, femcare, and adulting co in Mexico. On a reported basis, the growth has been 5% due to negative forex impact from the Mexican pesos. Let me remind you that the increase of our size, thanks to Grupo Mabe addition, will give us procurement synergies, which we will start to capture from quarter two onwards. And this will obviously support our EBITDA for the year. Moving on to our growth market division, which is on slide 10. We continue to see solid double-digit like-for-like growth in this division with plus 27.6 in Q1. Generally speaking, the same trend we had in 2015 supported Q1 revenue, namely volume growth in most markets, especially in Russia and Central Eastern Europe. Second, retailers looking to build their own brands, so progress in retailer brand. Industry-wide price adjustment in Russia implemented last year. And in fact, accounting for the negative impact of Forex, obviously mainly due to Russian ruble, the reported revenue grew still by almost 18%. So a great performance from this division. Moving now to Middle East, North Africa, our third growth engine on slide 11. What can we see? Here again, in supporting our ability to play Ontex's portfolio, most of the trends observed in late 15 remained broadly unchanged and contributed to the growth of the division year on year. Like-for-like revenue was up 16.5%. in Q1 with a broad-based growth. So this is a remarkable performance, 16.5% up. We registered volume gains across most markets with our brands Chen Bebe in baby care and Chen Ped in adult incontinence. We also made further progress in strengthening our distribution network in North Africa. And this allowed us to report a reported growth of 4.9, almost 5%, and obviously it's impacted by the negative forex from the Turkish lira. Important for the future, and as we play mid to long term, on a pro forma basis, our three growth engines combined in Q1 represented already 38% of total sales, and grew in average 18% on a constant currency year on year. Looking now at healthcare on slide number 12, what do we see that we're quite pleased because in a stable year on year on a reported basis due to negative impact from the British pound. Looking at the performance in more detail, we posted higher revenue in Italy and in the UK in home delivery, partly offset by lower sales in France and Germany. We can say that here we won quite a few tenders, which are going to help the business going further. Additionally, we're making good progress with the ongoing project in France, which consists of regrouping our two production sites in the north of France, aiming at delivering future efficiencies. Now let's move on to the review by category. It's on slide 13. Overall, we have seen growth in our two largest categories, starting with baby care. Baby care like-for-like revenue was up 0.7%, with higher sales modestly in developing markets and lower revenue in developed markets. Obviously, the performance in developed markets should be seen in conjunction with the trends observed in mature retailers. Including negative FX, and thanks to Mabe's March 2016 contribution, revenue was up 10.4%. On the adult incode, the revenue was up 1.3% like-for-like on the back of stable revenue in the institutional channel, 6% growth in retail channels, and as a whole, revenue was up 1.6%, including 1 month of Mabe and a negative FX impact. Fem care was down 2% for Q1. This trend is similar to the change observed in Western Europe. Including 1 month of Mabe and accounting again for negative FX impact, revenue was roughly flat. Now, moving into profitability and EBITDA, let's turn to the adjusted EBITDA review, and it's on slide 14. As already said, we achieved 37 basis point expansion, so almost 40 basis point expansion in the first quarter of 16, compared to the same period a year ago, and this including 1 month of dilutive effect from Grupo Mabe margin. Essentially, two main drivers impacting these results. First, the mix of commodity and Forex tailwinds and headwinds impacted us. In the quarter, we benefited from tailwinds from raw materials indices, mainly linked to oil-based commodities, whilst fluff pulp stayed at historically high levels. This tailwind in commodities indices was more than offset by Forex headwinds. In Q1 2016, we had a negative Forex impact on adjusted EBITDA in the amount of 13.2 million, due mainly to the Turkish lira, the Russian ruble, Polish zloty, and obviously the US dollar fluctuations. Second driver, and more within our control, our savings and efficiency project supported profitability improvement despite slower revenue growth, underscoring the resilience on the Ontex model. I can also add that the fact we are disciplined in our approach is also helping and helping our margins. In parallel, we continued our investments in sales, marketing, and administrative capabilities that will underpin sustainable, profitable growth in coming years, which means, and I want to insist, that we continue investing. So we are playing here the mid to long term. And once again, we're not focused on the quarter. Moving now to the net debt and liquidity, we are on slide 15. I mentioned before that net debt was around 700 million as of March 31st. And this is reflecting the fact we had 104 million for acquisition-related earnouts to be paid over 2016, 17, and 18, subject obviously to achievements of pre-agreed targets. We also completed the acquisition during the quarter, leading to a cash out of 178 million. Regarding leverage, our current estimate is that it's between 2.7 and 3 times, including an estimate of last 12 months EBITDA, including Mabe. As part of the acquisition, we have increased available liquidity from 100 million to 225 million, with a Term Loan C for 125 million, and this obviously will provide us with adequate liquidity for the upcoming earn-out payments. Now moving to the outlook, some words on outlook, and it's on slide 17. Based on current FX and view on commodities for this year, we can say that first, expectation for 2016 like-for-like growth remain unchanged. We anticipate our quarter two 2016 like-for-like performance in mature retail will be lower than the first quarter, but with a better like-for-like performance in the second half of the year. We expect strong like-for-like performances in 2016 from our expanded portfolio of business in growth markets, Middle East, North Africa, and from March 1st, Americas retail. Healthcare like-for-like is anticipated to continue growing slightly ahead of the stable Western market. Meanwhile, we will continue to capture efficiencies, savings, and as of quarter two, synergies following completion of the Mabe acquisition. Including the dilutive impact of Grupo Mabe, we expect to have a group adjusted EBITDA margin for the full year 2016 in line with full year 2015, which was around 12.4%. But on a much larger revenue base, confirming our ability to grow EBITDA and create value. So this concludes my presentation. Thanks for your attention. Now, happy to take your questions. So, operator, can you give the instruction, please?
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach your equipment. Again, that's star 1 to ask a question. We'll now take our first question from Robert Waldenschmidt from Liberum.
Good morning, gentlemen. Just wanted to touch a bit more on mature market retail, the price competition that we're seeing in the region seeming to bleed into the branded arena now, and sort of the expectation stroke outlook for Q2 in particular. I guess, in my view, I mean, what confidence do you have that the price competition doesn't continue to increase and spread further, and that this situation doesn't start to get a little bit out of hand? And two, in terms of the expectation for Q2 to be slightly worse than Q1, I mean, do we have an order of magnitude? Is it going to be more like -7, or could it be more than that? Thank you.
So, thank you. First of all, on the price competition, obviously we don't see why it would not continue. It's a fact, and we are adapting ourselves to this environment. We also think that as we stay disciplined, it should also have an impact on others staying disciplined. We are obviously looking at all of that with a lot of attention, and we come back with more, I would say, innovative and also movements. Plus, we are now, competition and price competition, price war is more on the baby category. We tend to focus on and play a little bit more the mix and focus on other subcategories, which is part of our answer to this situation. Now on the quarter two, which is, and indeed, we, because we wanted to want to be clear, we say very openly that it's going to be worse in mature retail than Q1. And it's entirely due to the fact that the balance of gain and losses and the contract we lost in 2015, is going to, the impact is going to peak in quarter two. So, which after that we will see an improvement on the like for like step by step over the rest of the year. So, I hope it answers your question.
Largely, I guess the in terms of Q2, do you think there's, is, I guess, point blank, is there a risk that the like-for-like goes double digits negative in the quarter as it peaks, and then we see improvement from there?
I wouldn't say double digit, but it's going to be more important than Q1, and it could be close to double digit.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now take our next question from Alan Vandenberghe of KBC Securities.
Good morning. Thanks for having my questions. I have a question regarding the tailwind effect or impact on EBITDA. I was wondering if you could provide us with more color on how strongly positive this impact was on EBITDA. And then one question regarding your reference shareholder, GBL, which again increased its stake to above 13%. I was wondering if you could provide more information on what their strategy or position was, and if they, at this level, could consider taking a board seat. Thank you.
So thank you for the question. Tailwind. In fact, as I said, this tailwind comes mainly from commodities. We see commodities linked to oil, and has been, as I told you, what we received from the indices was unfortunately offset by the Forex. I'm not going to give you too many figures on that, but you have seen Forex is negative 13.2. Which means our tailwind was slightly less than that. Next to this, we also obviously, and it's very important, you know, in our culture, we have a stream of projects around savings, efficiencies, and this stream of projects has allowed us to, as you have seen, to improve our margin despite the dilutive effect of Mabe. So we are very pleased with that. And the third thing is that as of quarter two, we will start having the impact of the synergies from the acquisition of Mabe. So as you see, several aspects. Indices are obviously outside our control. But the other elements, which are grabbing the synergies and pursuing our savings, are in our control, and that's on this one that we play. Now on GBL, we are obviously very pleased to see their move, which shows that they are confident in our mid to long term. They are a long term investor, so we're very pleased with that. And until now, you know, it's quite recent, so we have not got any request from their part. And the best would be to ask them.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. We'll now take our next question from Peter Zandi of Rabobank.
Good morning, Jacques. I have two questions, if I may. First, how should we read the better like-for-like performance in mature markets that you expect in the second half of the year? Does this mean that we can expect low single-digit like-for-like growth? And then, second, on the like-for-like growth in Western Europe in this quarter, which amounted to -7.4%, I'm presuming it was even worse than in your baby care segment. So on the latter, could you please share how this was split between volumes and pricing? Thank you.
Sorry, could you repeat your second question? I didn't get the beginning of it.
Oh, excuse me. In this quarter, the like-for-like growth in Western Europe was -7.4%. So I'm presuming that the like-for-like growth in your Western European baby care business was even worse.
Okay, got it. So first on the, let's talk about the future. Like-for-like growth in second half of the year we expect in mature retail. I said we expect an improvement of the like-for-like performance. It obviously will be coming from a balance, a better balance of gain and losses. There's also the fact we expect to, let's say, to have some increase of the business with some of our existing customers. Another aspect is obviously that the comps of H2 2015 were lower than the H1, so it's going to help our performance. What we see, and we see that we are also rebuilding our business for 2017, where we see real progress for the future. On the performance in the first quarter in Western Europe versus mature retail, we can see obviously it's a little bit worse Western Europe than mature retail, because as I said in my presentation, we have seen a nice growth in Poland, and Poland is not reported as part of Western Europe, even if it's part of our mature retail. Same for Australia, which is part of mature retail, but it's not part of Western Europe. So this is the explanation for this difference between the figures.
On the latter, perhaps on your baby care business in Western Europe, could you give some indication how the decline was split between volume losses and pricing?
I don't have, and we don't share, by the way, this exact figures on per category. We do it on the, as you have seen, total of the company. But on the volume, we see that the category itself, not our performance, but the category in Europe itself is slowing down. If you take the market, you see that the market is growing in adult incontinence, and it's at best flat to slightly decreasing for baby and femme care in Western Europe, which means so that the fair share of our decline is coming from volume rather than from price. I would add that we said we stay quite disciplined, so it shows that we're not going into price.
Okay, thank you, Shep.
Thank you. We'll now take our next question from Solange Timp of ABM AMRO.
Yes, good morning. I have a question about the 2.723 net debt EBITDA level. So is that an estimate for the full year 2016? And I would also like to ask, how is it now 2.723? Because during the full year 15 call, it would be above 2.5. I believe you said 2.5 to 2.7. So it's a bit higher now, and could you explain?
So first of all, the figure I give now is a figure including earnouts, which were not included at the full year. So it's a first big reason. Second, it's also what we see today based on an estimate of our last 12 months EBITDA. Obviously, we are, with the earnouts, we are paying for increase in of EBITDA, and these earnouts are already in the net debt, whereas this increased EBITDA is not yet in the last 12 months. So mathematically, it's going to help towards the end of the year.
All right, thanks. And my other question, maybe a bit more about the contract losses and gains. I was wondering, has anything changed during the first quarter that is not yet in the numbers, but maybe will be at the end of 2016?
Yep. So on this one, I can say we have every day gains and losses on small things. But in the first quarter, there has been nothing, let's say, material which has changed and which would change our full year view.
All right, and then I have a last question. It's a bit of a follow-up of what you said about that you expect to have some increase in business from retailers you currently have a contract with. Where does that expectation come from, or what signals do you see that you can expect that?
So, as we said, we expect to have increased business with some of our existing customers. These increases are coming from the fact we are having and agreeing with them on some activities which we are developing, so it's going to help that. One of key elements maybe you should keep in mind is for the second half is also that the comparatives are going to be easier, which is a part of why we are getting a better like-for-like evolution.
All right, that answers my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, please press star 1 if you would like to ask a question. We'll now take our next question from Ralph Strohmeyer of Allianz GI. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. I'm interested in the impact of the British pound on your profitability in the quarter. I mean, naturally it has a negative impact on sales, but are you hedged against that because you're producing in Europe? And is it right? I think I read that the impact was even positive on your profit. Is that right? And if so, why?
So, no, I wouldn't say that the impact of British pound has been positive. We are hedged, you know, and we have a policy of rolling hedging, which means every quarter we review with our audit committee and hedging committee, we review our hedging position and we do a rolling hedging. So which means we are hedged in British pounds, and we also hedge in US dollar, for example. What a hedge gives you, it gives you less volatility. It's a way to delay the impact, but if the currency continues its trend, at the end, you have to, you get the impact. So in the case of the British pounds, it has impacted negatively our top line, and through that has impacted also negatively our bottom line.
Okay, thank you.
One aspect, yeah. Here, when you hedge, one thing you need to keep in mind, we hedge and by that, we are protecting the downward trends. When we see a positive on our top line, then we see obviously a negative on the hedge and the other way around. So which is the way we mitigate the volatility.
Yeah, it impacts your reported margin a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And can I ask one more question, sorry?
Sure.
On the, you talked about contract wins. Was that in France and Germany? I wasn't quite sure if that's what you meant. I think it was in healthcare.
I said in healthcare we have won some tenders, and some of these tenders are in the UK. The biggest impact in UK. We also have our winning tenders in Italy, and we won also in Spain. So we won a little bit across the board, which makes that we are quite happy with the performance, operational performance of our healthcare division.
Okay, thanks very much.
Welcome.
Thank you. We'll now take our next question from Fernand de Boer of Degroof Petercam.
Yes, good morning. It's Fernand de Boer from Degroof Petercam. Couple of questions. One is on FemCare, a negative like-for-like growth in the first quarter. Last year, you ended the year with a good trend, so could you elaborate a little bit on that one? Then on Middle East, North Africa, very strong growth there. Well, you had quite tough comparatives. So what could you expect going forward in the coming quarters? And then to come back on the previous quarter of the British pound, I think the press release says it had a negative impact on revenue and positive impact on adjusted EBITDA. So please comment again.
Yeah.
And then the last question is on your margin guidance for the full year. If I look at the first quarter, you had a 37 basis points improvement. Well, Mabe was already included for 1 month. And then if I listen to your statement or your comments on raw materials, you actually say, okay, the tailwind might fail but or fade away, but we have a lot of things in place to compensate for that, in particular the synergies with Mabe, with purchasing synergies coming in quite quickly. So if I already take the first quarter plus 37 basis points, aren't you then not too conservative on the full year margin, seeing a margin similar to last year is not going to be 20 basis points of like that upgrade?
Okay, thank you, Fernand. And so several questions. FemCare. FemCare, as I said, the market we see in Western Europe is slowing down. And on top, you know, we are in retailer brand. It's for us, if you take a category, we are mainly selling in Western Europe retailer brand. We see that the competition has increased, and we do not put, and it's for us, we say that FemCare is not for us a short-term game. It's more a mid-term game where we will play also our portfolio. And rest of the world is probably a more promising territory also with innovation. So short-term, you should not expect big improvements for us in FemCare. But mid-term, we are committed to improve on this category. Middle East, North Africa, you're right, it's a great performance. It's across the board, which is also very interesting for us, so which means we have different opportunities to continue growing. Obviously, this is a volatile country, a volatile division, sorry, with many countries which can have some let's say external impact from you know, political issues and so on. So we are always careful. Now we can say and announce that we are relaunching our Chen Bebe brand in Turkey with innovation, and it's obviously we expect quite a bit of impact from this relaunch in Turkey. We have then Pakistan and Algeria, where we see very promising development. So quite happy with the evolution in Middle East, North Africa. A point is obviously, as I said, that in several countries we are expanding our distribution. We mentioned in previous quarters that we were busy rebuilding our network of distributors and getting, let's say, upgrading, and we start seeing the impact of this. Obviously, also, let's face it, we'll have to see with the comps for the rest of the year. And again, very happy with what MENA delivered in quarter one. The British pounds, yeah, that was your next question, British pounds. And what we see, we have seen the impact of the British pounds alone is negative. Now, if you couple to that the impact of the hedging, which we book, let's say, in our just in the EBITDA on what we call other results, if you include that, then you come on EBITDA on a positive impact just from the hedging. So the currency, if we had not hedged, would have been completely negative. As we had hedged, we have a gain from our hedging. So that's what has happened with the pounds. It's always this double game where the currency itself has its own impact, and then your hedging comes as an overlay on that. And obviously it can go in both directions. Sometimes the currency is going positive, but you had hedged and you get a negative impact from your hedge, which is again this mitigation effect I highlighted before. The margin. So on the margin first, I can say we like what we see. You have to keep in mind we have only 1 month of Mabe, where we have owned Mabe. So at this stage, it sounds to us very early, or too early, I would say, to change our views that what we have, let's say, highlighted previously. Because it would not be reasonable to come back. We know indices can change, but Forex can be very volatile. What we control, savings, efficiencies, and disciplined approach are clearly there and to deliver. And we plan to come to you with some more months of management of Mabe when we come up with our June results. There we will have a much, let's say, clearer view on both the Mabe performance, which is very important, and the synergies delivered.
Okay, thank you, Farrell.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Robert Waldschmidt of Liberum.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking a second question from me. Just wanted to come back on Mabe / the Americas. Obviously, strong performance pro forma in the quarter. I just wanted to get some insights now that it's fully yours on evolution of growth for this year. I mean, should we extrapolating the Q1 types of growth rates, or was there anything in particular which would have boosted Q1, which may settle down as we go through the year? Thank you.
Thank you. So Mabe, there are one of the aspects, obviously, which we have always to keep in mind is the Forex and Forex impact on the reported growth. Obviously, not on the like-for-like, but on the reported, and also on their EBITDA, which is also very important and which can fluctuate and be quite volatile. We have gained share, and that's very important to us. We see Mabe continues to gain share in Mexico, which gives us obviously confidence gaining across the board. Now, looking at performance like-for-like of 16.2 is a very high performance, and we have to keep in mind also the comps, which we will have to integrate over time. So, very happy with what we see. By the way, I take the opportunity to mention that we are extremely pleased with what we see in Mabe in terms of culture, willingness to integrate, and to join the Ontex family. This is really going very nicely in terms of integration.
Okay, thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. I would like to hand the call back to Mr. Pierrenaude for any closing remarks.
So, thank you. I want to thank all of you for listening to our earnings release. and giving you, let's say, saying we're going to see and talk to each other again after the June results. Looking forward to it, with also more information at the time about our acquisition and the progress we made in with Mabe. So very happy. Have a great day. Bye.
Thank you. This concludes Ontex's first quarter 2016 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.